You are now plugged into Action Feature.
Hey, everybody, it's time for Action Features.
This podcast with the flavor.
I wonder how many people skipped the last episode because of the Batman vs. Superman review thing.
I don't know.
We can't talk about anything about that.
No, we won't talk about that this time.
I mean, we can't talk about how much money it's making or anything like that.
We set our piece.
We've already set our piece, you know?
That's, you know.
Yeah, that's...
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I'll say this about the film.
Yeah.
It's inspired
me. We're not going to talk about it, but go ahead and talk about it.
I'm not talking about the film.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying it's inspired me to go back and revisit some old Batman comics.
I like that.
Look at some Superman comics.
Yeah.
Look at some Superman movies.
Yeah, that's great.
You know.
That's a good thing that came out of the movie.
That's right something there. That came out of it there. So there we go.
Well, you hear Warner Brothers? This really isn't talking about the movie itself. After what has happened at the box office with Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
They are now reshuffling their movie schedule and what
that,
they're doing,
yeah.
That they're going to back off on their smaller films and put more of a focus on the tentpole stuff.
I think that's smart anyway. I mean, it seems like what they should have been doing anyway.
Well, at the same time, though, I'm not all like Max Landis. I think he's really full of himself and doesn't really do good work. American Ultra didn't do well.
Yes.
And so this is that you're only going to see movie studios focus on these franchise tentpole movies and...
Yeah.
We're going to slowly see it get away from this. And even though Batman vs. Superman isn't performing at the level that they expected it to perform at, they're still going to focus more of their efforts into those kind of movies, like just the tentpole stuff
right.
And no smaller...
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant only the bigger heroes. Like,
No. They're focusing on DC, the Harry Potter spinoffs, all of their tentpole... big blockbustery franchises, and they're backing off of their smaller films now.
Did they put out the last Divergent movie?
Allegiant, I don't know.
I heard they had a few movies that have really bombed.
Tanked, yeah.
So
there was something else. Yeah, there was maybe it was Divergent. I can't remember what it was. There was something listed there, though, that was a big tank. Oh, was it that movie with Turple Churnham?
Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, I think that was one of theirs, and that didn't do well.
No, not at all.
So in some ways, it's like, okay, well, I understand what you're doing. You're going to try and put more effort into your superhero films to make them better. I would say that's the plan here.
Yeah.
But if that's at the cost of a smaller film that might actually be good and original and neat, that kind of stinks. You know, like...
If they're putting out American Ultra...
But if you're putting out American Ultra...
Maybe it's
for the best. But if you're putting out Jupiter Ascending, then maybe it's...
It's yeah.
Maybe it's for the best.
Time to just cut.
Time to cut it all.
Cut the cord and... Yeah, okay.
We're supposed to get a Doctor Strange trailer soon. Like next week.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of pictures. So,
yeah.
That's quick, actually.
That is quick.
Yeah.
I didn't see much pictures at all, except for a couple of, you know, sneaky paparazzi set pics.
Doctor Strange!
He looks great as Doctor Strange.
He does. I saw him buying a Doctor Strange comics in a comic
shop.
Yeah,
they finished filming. He went to a comic shop
as
and bought
Doctor
a bunch
Strange.
Of Doctor Strange comics.
Why not?
As Doctor Strange.
Why not
took
do
pictures
that?
Of people. That's cool, man.
That's really cool.
But it's just Benedict Cumberbatch. He loves being at places.
I know you're tired of Cumberballs.
He loves being seen at places, you know?
He's
probably a super nice guy.
He probably is.
And it's...
He said, I've got the...
He's probably going to be great as Doctor Strange.
Got the costume?
He's got the costume.
I'll go do this.
And if I was a comic shop and Benedict Cumberbatch showed up as Doctor Strange, I would be like, that's really cool.
He would win you
that's
over.
That's pretty awesome.
He would win you over.
All the guys in the Marvel films seem to enjoy doing that, like taking their costume and going and showing up at places.
It's probably part of the contract.
Character.
They
I don't
say
know if it is.
They say... You know what? If you're going to be part of this,
because
you better do it.
They do like the kids' hospitals and stuff, and I highly doubt that's in their contract.
Well,
I
was kidding.
Come on, man. Give them a break.
I was just kidding.
Give them a break, man.
Okay.
Gosh. These guys trying to do something nice, and you would tear them apart for it. I need to look up that quote for the G.I. Joe thing later.
Oh, yeah. Find that.
All
right. Speaking of photographs, of picture, of movie... Filming. Apparently, they're filming the new Mummy already.
Yeah, I heard.
Which
Tom Cruise?
That just got announced, and then all of a sudden they're filming it. I guess. I guess I'm kind of a Tom Cruise fan. He picks solid movies. He puts 120% into everything that he does, and so I kind of hoped I liked the Mummy. I like the Mummy franchise, and I like the original Mummy movie. So I don't really think it needs to be revisited, but him being attached to it is maybe the only thing that gives me hope. But from the pictures, it looked like it's a modern day.
Yeah.
It takes place in modern day, and that gives me some pause for a little concern.
The Brendan Fraser one is still kind of fresh and new in my mind. I know it's not that it is probably old by now. But
it is to me too. I don't. When they initially announced this, I thought they were just going to remake the original Mummy movie as is, like make it more of a mystery movie and not an action adventure.
Yeah.
Because the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies are totally different to me than the others. I don't know. It's early to tell, but there it is. That's kind of a surprise.
I'm trying to find this quote here, so keep going while I'm looking for this.
Oh,
I should have looked this up beforehand.
You should have.
I should have
reminded you. I meant to remind you. So I'm at Kroger the other day.
Oh, don't do that.
No. I'm at Kroger the other day, and I'm standing in line. Somebody comes up to me. I hear this voice behind me. He says, "Hey, man, you got a quarter?" And this is for real. And I turn around, and it's Brendan Cool, one of our listeners.
Our coolest listener.
Hey.
Get it?
Yeah, I get it. So I thought that was pretty funny that he actually did that. And then I ran into him, and
of the stories.
And he was quick enough to do that.
Yeah.
Guilty as charged with the stories.
I think he's pretty anxious to hear the end of that story. And, you know, one day we'll get to it.
Well, if he would have stuck around, he would have figured it out. Because we, you know.
He was the story.
He was living it. He was living.
I can't find this, man. I can't remember what site.
Try smalljoes.com.
I don't think it was on Small Joes.
Try G.I. Joe Insider.com. G.I. Joe the movie.com. Org.
Oh, wait, I think I might have found it. Hang on.
Okay. Let's see, what else do I have?
That's from 2014, so that's not it. I'm going to find it, man.
Well, you're gonna ruin this episode.
No, I'm not. We can always just talk about it.
Do you want any of these tacos? Do you want any of these Doritos?
I love Doritos.
Well, we have cheese explosion and taco explosion. I don't know which one to open. They're all the same shapes.
Taco explosion, cheese explosion.
Taco,
I think the cheese explosion is the way to go.
Okay. So, thanks, Mom. My mom sent these new Dorito mixes in for us to try, which I'm about to do.
All right, so what else is news that we need to talk about? I'm just going to have to paraphrase this.
Okay.
Because I can't find it.
Well, since we're talking about DC, as everybody probably knows by now, they're reshooting a bunch of stuff for Suicide Squad to make it more fun.
That's good.
Instead of complaining about this, which I am really not inclined to do anyway, I think it's silly to take the reaction to one movie with different characters, you know, and have everybody say, "Oh, it's too dark," and then feel like you need to reshoot all of a sudden.
Yeah.
The other movie that you had, some other director had a different vision for that movie, and it's the Suicide Squad. Whatever you think about it, that to me seems like it should be probably a little bit darker than Superman.
Yeah.
So you can't. You can't take this. It's just like with Deadpool. Like, oh, a rated R comic movie succeeded, and so now everybody has to jump on that.
Yeah,
like it's different things. And
well, the tone of the film. I mean, you can see in the trailers what the tone of the film is, and throwing a few jokes in there afterwards is not going to change the story and tone of the film. Just let him make the film he was going to make. They're saying that it's both a response to. Or some people are saying it's a response to Batman vs Superman, and they're trying to claim that it was. The trailer had such a good reaction during the jokey parts, and that's pretty much all the jokes that were in the movie, that they want to put more of the jokes in there.
Why would you put all the jokes in the trailer?
I don't understand that either, and I don't remember the trailer even having that many jokes.
Because if you put all the jokes in the trailer, that means you know that's what people is going to draw people in. No, that's... No, whatever.
I'm thinking back on the trailer, and I don't remember a lot of jokes. To have this huge response to the jokes.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't.
Is it no different than the other trailer where jokes get a laugh?
I don't know.
Doesn't mean to add more jokes because the jokes got a laugh. I don't understand.
I'm okay with I wasn't upset about the trailer. It's, you know, it's fine. But so that's happening. Speaking of trailers, Star Wars.
Yeah, the Rogue One trailer hit today.
Rogue One, a Star Wars story, hit today.
I don't like that they moved away from Star Wars anthologies. I would much rather have been called Star Wars anthologies, Rogue One.
Right.
I don't like a Star Wars story. It's odd sounding.
Yeah,
to me.
It sounds funny.
That's an odd complaint to have for us. You know, it's.
It is. I'm not.
It just doesn't sound right to me.
I'm not mad about anything in the trailer, but we said it earlier. I'm going to say it again. It seems like a fan. It seems kind of like a fan made thing. Some of it looks cool. Don't get me wrong.
Mon Mothma looks cool.
I thought that was great casting for her.
She looks great.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
I love seeing the Death Star and the Star Destroyer. What looks like maybe a Grand Admiral, the guy in the white, the Imperial with the white with the cape.
I thought
like
that.
Cape.
Yes, I thought he looked great.
That's
too.
Really neat. There's a shot where you see Emperor's Royal Guards in front of something. We don't know what it is yet, and a cloaked figure in front of that. If Vader is in the film, which there's heavily rumored that Vader is in this movie, I'm glad they didn't put him in the trailer because it would have felt like a type of moment, like fan service. Yeah. Look, we're putting Vader in the movie.
Right.
Let the movie stand on its own without immediately showing here comes Vader. Almost like they did with the Force Awakens trailers, but they held off on showing, even though we were kind of against that when we saw it the first time, not showing anything Han or Luke. It worked out in the long run to kind of hold it back again. I mean, I'll go see it. It looks like a fun movie. It doesn't feel as much like a Star Wars movie as the other one felt like.
Right.
But it's just one teaser trailer. You can't really tell the vibe of an entire movie yet.
You got to get into the proper mindset of letting these one-off movies just be just that.
Yeah.
And they're not really part of the... I'm not considering them canon, really, even though they take place in...
I kind of like the fact that it feels differentiated from what I feel like when I watch a Star Wars trailer and go like, okay, this feels like a fantasy epic and all these things. This one feels more like a military sci-fi movie, which is not really what I think of as a Star Wars. But I like that. I like that it's a little different than the other films. You know, that they are set apart.
You know? Something that you like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something you will watch.
You got it.
Something to put in the theaters.
Okay.
And
you know what it is.
Something you can watch. It's a Star Wars story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Casting rumors, Charlize Theron has joined Fast and Furious 8.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's already been in two car movies, one being The Italian Job and the other being Where's Max?
Charlize Theron?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying she's old. I'm not saying that at all.
She's not old. She looks good.
But she seems like she's older than the rest of the cast in that film.
Well,
in the Furious films.
Maybe. Well, Vin Diesel is in his late 40s, maybe?
Really?
I think so.
Oh.
I
don't know that.
I mean, none of those guys really look old. But Charlize Theron doesn't look old either, and I don't know what her role is going to be. I don't know if she's going to be joining the team, or if she's going to be...
Maybe she's hunting the team.
She's probably going to be a bad guy.
Maybe she's a bad guy that's hunting the team.
Personally, I'm not interested in that franchise anymore now that...
Paul Walker's gone.
Brian Austin Green is gone.
He's gone.
And that leaves Vin Diesel as the lead, and I got to be honest, I can't... I can barely take him as, like, the sidekick.
Yeah.
He's... It's rough.
It's tough. He's not...
I don't need friends. I don't need friends.
He's ridicule.
I need family.
He's ridicule, and that's...
He's ridicule.
He works as ridicule.
Chronicles of Ridicule.
Chronicles of Ridicule 6, The Dark Wind on the Storm.
Black Sail. The Black Sail. So anyway, but there's that. Charlize is doing that. Do you have anything?
No, I mean, we're covering most of the things that I wanted to address.
Okay.
As far as current happenings.
Okay.
There was one thing, and I thought it was comic related, and I can't remember what it was now. We were talking about this the other day, The Killing Joke.
I was just, when you said that, I was just about to bring that up. Okay.
You were wanting to get a copy of The Killing Joke.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, you should maybe watch out on that hardcover re-release because the coloring is different than it originally was. And, you know, the thing that stinks is if your first exposure to Killing Joke is picking up that hardcover, then you would never know that it was really all that different. But it's really different. Like, seeing the side-by-sides, it's a completely different tone
to
the coloring.
Yeah, not only would you not know, and you might be able to enjoy the story, but I think the impact would be significantly minimized. I mean, because the two side-by-side, looking at it, if I had read the other one, that would stick with me for a long time.
No doubt. And I read the original one when it came out.
Right.
And I remember those colors being so vibrant. And I picked up the hardcover, and I don't know if I ever actually opened the hardcover.
Yeah.
Like, I had heard about the recoloring, and Brian Bolland did the recoloring on it. Like, it's him that did the recoloring. But I don't remember if I ever actually... Because I know that if I opened it up and looked at it, I would have been...
Yeah.
Like, kind of like, whoa, this is completely different.
It's
shockingly
different.
It's
a real, quote, realistic approach, you know, but it seems like it's all the life is just sucked out of it. That original had so much energy and
flair.
Like,
the funhouse scenes are, like, really bright and vibrant colors.
Right.
Where Joker's going after Batman, it's very bright, it's very vibrant. And this one, it's really, like you said, it's a realistic approach to it. And I don't think that's an improvement.
I mean, it's just not fun.
It's not.
And not only that, but... You put a piece of artwork out there, and I know they've done several reprints, but the fact is it's $60 now minimum, and so you're left with no choice.
But to get that version.
But to get that, and I think...
Especially if you've never seen the original version.
Right.
You're missing out
on
something.
I think if you're going to do a complete revamp like that, I mean, it's easy for me to say, but I think a company, especially for a book that is supposedly such a staple for them, you know, like... You have a responsibility to keep the original thing alive.
Yeah.
Which they're not doing. Very disappointing to me. I just don't understand the...
I don't get it.
Like, why did you feel the need to do that?
And I was... There's going to be a Batman Killing Joke animated movie.
Right.
And they haven't shown much of this yet. It's cool that Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy are doing the voices.
Yes.
That's awesome. I saw one quick snippet where Batman's adjusting his mask and Joker's coming after him. And the animation style didn't really seem very close to Brian Bolland to me.
I saw him talking about that. Did you see him?
I didn't see it.
Bruce Timm was talking about it, and he said, you know, his style is so detailed.
Yeah.
It'd be really hard to translate it to animation, so he's trying to find an approximation.
It's not even close.
Well, to me, it doesn't look like it either.
It looks like a generic animated style.
Yeah, it looks like all the other ones.
And the coloring wasn't there. Like, in the scene that I saw, the coloring was... If you could maybe at least get the coloring of the way the book originally was into there, even with that animation style, it would still have the vibe of that.
Right.
I mean, they took certain tweaks for other artistic styles. Like, The Dark Knight Returns is a dead-on, but it feels like Frank Miller animated. And New Frontier feels like Darwin Cook animated.
Right.
But this one, yeah. And Mazzucchelli in Year One, I thought they did a good job on that one.
Right.
This one is pretty far off from... I would not know at all that they were even trying to approximate Brian Bolland on that. It's so completely far from it.
I would say if they want to do real colors for that, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I could understand if the book was out and they... But I don't understand. It's just like Star Wars, with George Lucas going back, and you want to mess with everything.
Yeah.
And take, you know... It's a shame. It's just
it is.
Shame.
You alright?
Yeah.
Oh. Mike's having an issue.
I don't have an issue.
Oh, no, he's alright. No, he's okay now. Okay, so...
Don't worry.
Is that everything? What is this thing?
Yeah, that's a triangle.
What? These have shapes in here.
It's a spicy nacho.
Whoa.
That's what that flavor is.
Hmm. That's good.
You know all Dorito flavors are good except for the sweet chili that they put out.
Yeah, that was no good. Okay, so... I think that covers everything that we're going to talk about non-G.I. Joe, right?
I think so. Are you interested in one of these pineapple upside down squares?
You know I am.
My mom made these.
Maybe we'll have a word from our sponsor first here before we
move on. Let's have a word from our sponsor.
Okay.
When my son Kal-El came to Earth and assumed the identity of Clark Kent, he carried all of Krypton's strength with him, but gained one of Earth's weaknesses. Unsightly pressure marks left on the bridge of the nose by eyeglasses. But where humans failed, Krypton science prevails. Jor-El's rejuvenating nose cream. Protect your secret with my secret.
Okay, well, it's good to hear from him again. We got to pay the bills, you know.
Yeah. So I mean, we've been slacking. That might have actually contributed to some drops in sales.
Yeah. I mean, I know we've lost a lot of listeners, and that could be the reason why. I'm going to take the smaller one.
Take whatever one you want.
I feel bad taking the big one.
Take the big one if you want.
No, I'm not going to take the big one.
I've had some.
No, I'm going to take this one.
Okay.
What happened to the top of this cupcake? I got to be honest.
Well, the lid for the Tupperware got smushed onto it.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's good. I'll tell you what I like about this.
Tell me.
I don't really like pineapples.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And so when I like pineapple upside down cake, but I take the pineapples off.
That's weird.
So it's pretty much just cake.
Yeah.
With a slight pineapple flavoring, you know, because I don't like the big chunks of pineapple.
Right.
Whoever did this, they minced up the pineapple and made it into like an icing.
Like a topping.
Whoever did that did a good job.
Well, my mom made these.
She did a great job.
Yeah.
She knew what I liked. She knew, he's not going to like those big chunks of pineapple.
Yeah, she didn't make it for me.
Yeah, she made it for me.
Yeah.
I should have taken the bigger piece.
You should have.
All right, so Hasbro with G.I. Joe. The quote, I don't know exactly what it was, but it's one of the guys that works on the G.I. Joe team was speaking about how Hasbro is going to back off on G.I. Joe and saying, well, we live in an age of real terrorism. And G.I. Joe fights terrorists, and that just isn't going to fly anymore. It's not a... I'm very much paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact quote, but it's something to that effect that it's tough to sell a toy line now where your main enemy is terrorists when we live in an age of real terrorists. Yeah. And to me, this is disappointing to hear. Because we've always lived in an age of terrorists where there's real-life villains. But G.I. Joe... is a fantasy situation. With snake men and guys with metal masks and...
Hey, this is your faceplate!
A guy that can change his appearance to other people.
Right.
Ninjas and, twins that can feel each other's pain and a crazy mad scientist. It's not like the whole thing is just, it's a terrorist group. You could just call it Cobra. If you're that scared about the terrorist thing, just leave out the terrorist word.
Yeah.
The evil organization Cobra. They have to fight the evil Cobra. You know, that seems like a cop-out to me to say that. And if it is that our world is so, we don't want anything that has to do with military guys fighting terrorists, that I don't want my boys playing with that, then we're just a ridiculous country. That's a silly thing to do. So both sides of it, if that's the reasoning, that's silly. If it's the other reasoning, it's also silly.
I got the feeling, after thinking about that that was Hasbro's view, and not necessarily that they've gotten any backlash from anybody else or anything like that. It's just whoever's running Hasbro doesn't want to be a part of it, because Toys R Us has an entire aisle dedicated to military stuff, not fantasy military stuff.
Well, if it's Hasbro's angle, that's crappy too.
Yeah, I mean, they're free to do what they want, but it does seem silly to me, and... like, maybe you're taking yourselves too seriously. This is an ongoing thing.
And yeah.
It's sad to hear if they're not going to continue. I mean, G.I. Joe has already been pulling back. I mean, they have no presence in the stores.
It's crazy, man. That's one of the biggest names in toys. I mean,
when you think of an action figure.
G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were to name, like, the top five toys... including girls' toys.
It's got to be number one.
Barbie's in there, Transformers is in there, G.I. Joe is in there. Those, you know, and that's... those are big, big things.
Yeah.
Stuff that really shouldn't ever go away. It should just, you know, find new ways of appealing to the current market. I mean, it went from being the 12-inch thing when our dads were kids to the 3 3/4 line when we were kids, and then carried on the 3 3/4 line and became other different lines throughout the time. It's just it just kept on adapting, but the core thing was there, a military group versus the evil guys, you know, and
right.
it's silly.
With all kinds of character diversity and
write it off. Yeah, that's an incredible amount of unique characters.
And it's something that Hasbro owns, and so it's not
no licensing fees.
Yeah.
You're not having to worry about is there going to be a current movie to support this? Is there a current television show? It's your line. You do what you want with it.
Right.
It's a shame. It's G.I. Joe is a line that I absolutely loved as a kid. And I wish it was kind of around in that same kind of incarnation now for my kids to enjoy. But it's never been as big as it was back then. And to see it slowly just die away as, you know, the it became a Toys R Us exclusive and, you know, you can only get new figures through a convention or a subscription program. And it's like, man, it's kind of a waste. You know, you just had two major motion pictures within the last 10 years and you can't get it together enough to keep the line going. And
they couldn't even get figures out for the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a shame. And I don't know. I don't know what to, you know, there's the larger commentary here, which is, what are you really shooting for here? Are you trying to take guns away from people? I mean, not away from people, literal guns, but the idea of guns, or you don't want to promote violence?
Playing wartime.
You don't want to play wartime. I'm sorry, but there's plenty of violence.
Oh, definitely.
That kids are seeing in real life, and there's plenty of violence that they're getting in video games and other avenues. So it's not like G.I. Joe is, you know, promoting this.
Yeah, and in certain ways, even though, you know, stuff like Grand Theft Auto isn't really targeted towards kids play it.
Right.
I would much rather my kids be playing with action figures of military good guys versus evil bad guys.
And be playing
on the side of the good guys. And you know you got to beat the bad guys. Whereas a game where you're playing the bad guy, where you're stealing cars and doing this and doing that, that's not the image. I'd much rather they have an image where it's like, here's your clear-cut good guys versus your clear-cut bad guys. Go at it. Go have a good time and play it. You know, that's what I want my kids to play.
This is really the main issue, and it keeps coming up, it seems, like that is going away, this idea of honor and this idea of, you know, characters that are bigger than us and do the better thing seems to be going away. And I hate to see it for G.I. Joe.
Plus, it was something, too, that you could almost, like, aspire to, and I don't know if they want people to aspire to be in the military anymore or not.
Well, we have a military, you know, so you should.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing, is that
none of these other toy lines you can aspire to be. You can't aspire to become a Transformer.
Right.
Or to become Spider-Man. You know, that's just, you're never going to be Spider-Man.
Right.
You're never going to be Dragon Ball Z. You're never going to be Goku. That's impossible.
Right.
But you could join the military. You could become a commander, a general, a Navy SEAL, all the things that G.I. Joe incorporates, you could become those things.
Right.
You know, that's
those things, you can be inspired by those things, but you can't aspire to those, which I would clarify. And also having the presence and seeing, I mean, that's why when they did, was it StarCom?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was NASA, was fun. Yeah. To get kids interested, because kids are the future adults, and they're the ones that are going to be doing this stuff for us, and we have to have a military. You know, things like Rambo and stuff like that, like, it's been probably 10 years ago now, but I heard on some radio program, some lady was talking about violence, you know, and what to do to combat it, and somebody called in and said, well, you know, the kids should be, you know, we should have our kids watch Rambo and stuff like that, and this, you know, the host flipped her wig, you know, she couldn't believe it. And it's like, you know, boys are going to be violent, especially in some way. They're going to have a channel for, you can't just put them all on Ritalin and expect things to go good. They're going to have an outlet for violent actions. And violent does not mean bad. It just means an extreme action. Like, you can turn the wheel of your car violently, or you can, you know, move your pencil violently across the paper. It's not a bad thing. It would be a good idea to channel that into something honorable. And whether people know it or not, you know, I know First Blood Rambo was kind of lost it, but, you know, everybody knows him from the second movie, and he redeems himself. Like, there's a story of redemption. And,
well, same thing with, like, Commando. Here's this military guy that kidnapped his daughter, and he's got to take out the bad guys, you know, and he's got this gun, he does these things, and he's a hero, and it's, but at the same time, it's something that, you know, you see the honor in the character, and it's something relatable.
Right.
It's not somebody with superpowers, even though it's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
it's a real guy type of thing. And it's he was in the military and he did these things. And it's we're losing any pretense of having real world heroes.
Right.
And kids like to pretend to be real world heroes too. They like to pretend to be cops and firemen. And right. even though it's far fetched, Keaton is absolutely loving pretending to be Indiana Jones lately.
Yeah.
He's loving it. He's got these Indiana Jones clothes, and he wants to wear them all the time.
Maybe some archaeology would be
because it's a real, right. it's somebody that could really exist. It's right. not like Superman, and right. it's not a Ninja Turtle.
Right.
It's not something where he has no chance that he can ever be that, but he could become an adventurer that's an archaeologist or
right.
a policeman or a general or something like that. And that's when he really gets into playing something is when he can actually aspire to be that. And it stinks that if Hasbro's reasoning is that they're taking that away. It's like,
yeah,
this is a real world thing. Even though it's far fetched, it could still be aspired to be that.
I think G.I. Joe does a great job of kind of marrying all that. Like I said,
yeah.
it's such a diverse cast of characters. Any kid from any background can plug
any nationality, any race.
Yeah, plug right into it and find someone to relate to, and you get different stories each. If you're talking about the cartoon, you can. There's just so many possibilities, and I don't want to get down on it. So, we have very fond memories of
it. I love it. It's. Well, I think we talked about it on our toy lines thing. I think it was my number one toy line of all time, just because it was so huge and had so many characters and so many situations, and just so much stuff involved in it. It went so deep that you could just get into it and just stay into it for forever. You'd still not cover everything.
Right.
There's so much to cover on it. And to see it, that people that own it kind of push it off to the side, it's a real bummer. A real bummer.
I really am nonplussed with Hasbro as of late. I wonder if they just want to take a break for a little bit and regroup.
Now that I could use.
I could use that because I'm kind of getting tired of...
I think it needs to be reinvented.
Yeah, I think they need to do something else than what they've been doing.
Yeah, well, maybe reinvented is the wrong word for me. It's the same as when the 12-inch had run its course and they switched to 3¾-inch because that was, up and coming. That was Star Wars and it was becoming the scale. It's been that for a long time now, and now 6-inch seems to be the scale of everything. I would love to see G.I. Joe come out as a 6-inch line focusing on the classic archetypal characters of the 80s,
we talked about doing a black
series.
That
would be awesome. That would be really cool. And if you market it as an adult collector line, maybe you don't have to worry so much about terrorism, I mean, if you're just calling them G.I. Joes and Cobras, and here's Duke, and here's Cobra Commander, and here's Destro, and here's Flint,
here's Zartan.
Yeah.
What are you offended by?
What are you offended by here? This is for an adult collector anyway.
Right.
And the kids will be able to get them just like they do Marvel Legends.
Right.
That would be awesome. I would love for Hasbro to do that.
Hasbro.
But it's not all roses when it comes to G.I. Joe of our childhood.
That's true.
There were some stinkers. And so we've put together a top 5 list tonight in honor of this little G.I. Joe talk we've had. The top 5 G.I. Joes you just couldn't trade off. One of the big things about collecting, back in the 80s especially, it doesn't happen that much now with my kids. They don't do a lot of trading of toys.
Yeah.
Was trading your figures. If you saw something another guy had that you really wanted, and he had something, or you had something he really wanted, you trade it. And if your moms allowed it, you got to keep those things.
If they knew about it.
A lot of time the mom would step in and say, no, you got to give that back.
Right.
And those were sad days.
It's because sometimes she...
It did happen.
She would keep you from getting the rare thing. You'd never find that
again. But if your moms were cool with it, and you both looked at the deal okay, you traded toys. And I got a lot of my Joes that way. I would trade other toy lines to get Joes, and I'd trade Joes for Joes. But there were certain Joes in my collection I know I could never trade because nobody wanted them. To the point where if I had a good deal going, and I tried to sweeten the deal by adding one of these Joes in, it would cost me the deal. They would go, actually, I'm not as interested now. They would lose interest if I added one of these guys in. So for me, this list is actually from experience as a kid, which Joes I knew were always going to stay in my pile. They were never going anywhere because nobody was interested.
Couldn't get rid of them.
Whereas for you,
My experience with G.I. Joe has been that I was very selective about the Joes that I got. It was pretty rare that I got any Joes that I didn't ask for. If I got a surprise toy, it was usually a Ninja Turtle or something like that. I came along I was just a little bit later than you with what was available.
I'm a little older than
you. I still grew up with the 90s and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was maybe too old for Eco Warriors, but just barely. I was still interested.
I still bought Eco Warriors.
I was interested.
I was older than you and I still bought them.
Yeah.
But I loved G.I. Joe. It was I spent most of my toy money on.
As cheesy as Eco Warriors was, that's what everybody was concerned with in the 90s. And it's fun to me to look back on.
It's like we were just saying, it kind of adapted to its time period each time. Okay, this is a popular thing. This is what we're going with.
And it came up with a cool feature with the water, the color with the water.
And the comics, Larry Hama made, he did his best with everything. He made everything kind of work in that comic. It, for being a toy tie-in comic, it lasted 155 issues, which is well past the point where it should have been able to make it, but it kept on going, just because the comic was so much fun. Okay, so that was your time frame.
Yeah.
So you may not have had as many Joes that you weren't unable to trade. So your list is a little different than mine.
That is correct. And like I said, all the Joes I had, I wanted those Joes. I don't remember trying to trade any Joes off. I tried to trade plenty of starting lineups over the years.
I tried to trade a Joe for a starting lineup. I don't even care about starting lineups.
Wow, you tried to get a starting lineup.
Yeah, I don't care about starting lineups.
Yeah. You were desperate.
Yeah. Couldn't get rid of them. Nobody wanted
But to. You didn't want to throw it away.
Didn't want to throw it away. It was a G.I. Joe. All right, so your list is based on viewing G.I. Joes and saying that one would probably be a tough one to trade off.
Yeah.
All right.
Before we get to this, there was a headline that I saw that I forgot to mention, and the headline is, student dies after attaching rocket to skateboard. It's kind of grim. I mean, I'm sorry that happened, but
it's rough that it happened.
It did strike me as a little bit funny.
It is a little bit funny.
I mean,
I'm sad for his family.
It was an 18-year-old.
Maybe you shouldn't have done that.
He was 18 years old.
You knew better.
You should. You knew better than
all
that.
All right.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say footage from Rogue One released in new teaser trailer.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. It was teaser trailer for Rogue One shows first footage ever. Is what it said.
It's a teaser trailer.
Yeah,
that's it's the first footage ever.
Yeah, it's the teaser for the.
Silly.
The trailer.
All right, let's jump into this.
All right.
All right, so the top five G.I. Joes you just couldn't trade off. Number five for me. You want to start? You want to start? You start.
I usually
you
start.
Usually start.
So you
go ahead and start.
Yeah. Mine was a character called Updraft.
Oh, yeah.
1990.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like William H. Macy. the kids weren't ready for a William H. Macy at the time.
They weren't ready for it. They didn't want him.
Jurassic Park 3 hadn't come out yet. It's not time to have an action figure of him. He's kind of lame.
I remember you talking about. I'm looking at the old DeSimone guide, and you're looking at the. I just wanted a visual picture of him again, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Do you want to share my book?
No, I'm cool. I'm cool. Okay, so for me, my number five was Deep Six version 2.
Which one was version 2?
Version 2 was the one with the orange helmet and sort of the light bluish coloring and the orange hot pinkish gloves.
You couldn't get rid of that?
I couldn't get rid of it. Okay, so everybody...
He's a cool figure.
I don't know how cool he is. It's a good sculpt, but those colors...
Well, that's what I mean. The color...
are so bad.
Yeah.
So I want a Deep Six version 1 really bad. I liked Deep Six on the cartoon. A lot of people criticize that first Deep Six figure because all it has is arm movement.
Well,
but I love the design. I think it's so cool looking.
He's in a giant mechanical suit. It wasn't...
I didn't get him, though.
Yeah, you didn't have that.
But I wanted him. And I couldn't find him anywhere. I remember seeing him at a flea market and couldn't find him. So when Deep Six version 2 hit, I was like, well, I'm going to get Deep Six version 2. And I got him, and I got him home, and I'm like, oh, boy. I made a mistake here. This is rough. The coloring is way off. It's got this bright orange helmet. And so I then began to start trading him, and nobody was interested.
No.
A lot of guys didn't even know he was Deep Six. And when I did explain he was Deep Six, they were like, well, that's not very good. Yeah, it was no good. Deep Six version 2, lost cause.
Cool sculpt, though.
Cool sculpt. But coloring.
We didn't know about repainting at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I repainted one of those in, like, classic bronze and tan.
Yeah, well, I didn't know what kind of paint you could use back then.
Probably none.
It was, I think I had testers, and that was...
Testers was...
That was the extent of what...
Good.
Of what I could use.
Not good for that stuff.
No, it was not good. You couldn't use that.
Still not. okay, my number four is... Ground control to major storm. Ground control to major storm.
You're picking a lot of drivers and stuff here.
Well, it is true that he's a driver, but as on his own, this is a very boring figure. I can imagine not wanting him to show up in the cartoon.
You're never waiting
for Major Storm to show up in the cartoon.
You know, he's the general driver, and the general appeared in the Deke episodes.
Yeah.
And I don't really remember. I didn't really watch much of the Deke because they were so bad.
Yeah.
I can't really remember if he ever even was the general driver on the Deke episodes. I can't remember if he actually showed up in the cartoon in the Deke episodes or not. Or if they just had some other Joes driving it Major Storm.
let's draw somebody else in there.
Good. All right. You good?
I'm good.
All right, so my number... Was this number four?
Number four.
Number four for me, Spearhead and Max. I signal this as the beginning of the end for G.I. Joe being somewhat realistic. Now, you would think that... Oh, Spearhead and Max, he's got an animal companion, which is... Animal companions were always a good selling point, but his coloring is terrible. He's got this weird sort of hot pinky orange camo at a time where they weren't really doing too much of that. And his sculpt looks like a core figure. Like, the sculpt is really poor.
Yeah, it looks really cheap.
He's got kind of weird arms and, like, an odd kind of wide chest. Couldn't get rid of him. People were interested in Max, the bobcat that he comes with, but nobody wanted Spearhead, and I wasn't going to get rid of just the cat.
Why does he have this giant sword?
That's another thing. He has this giant sword and an orange backpack. So it's just like they threw a bunch of weird colors on him. They did a Night Force version of this figure, and the coloring on it is better, but the sculpt is still terrible. Like, it's just not... It's not a good release by Hasbro.
It's pretty junky.
It's a pretty rough one. So for me, number four, Spearhead, I couldn't get rid of him.
All right. Oh, this is another... It's another pilot, a driver, Windmill.
Windmill, yeah.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, he's a rough one, man.
I don't even want him flying my chopper.
He's got a giant pistol he comes with, too.
Skystorm X-Wing chopper pilot.
Yeah, it was a weird thing that the wings, it was like almost like a plane, but it had this weird like propeller thing that can extend.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Star Wars.
It was an odd vehicle to begin with, and he's an odd-looking driver. And orange pants.
Not cool looking.
He's got the orange pants, man.
He doesn't look confident. The figure doesn't look
confident. He looks worried.
Yeah.
He looks worried about the ship.
I don't know about this mission.
Guys, has this been tested?
I've barely got my license. I'm not ready for
That's okay. We'll give you this giant revolver. That'll help you through.
Whew.
All right. So now I'm getting into vehicle drivers.
Okay.
From here on out, it's the rest of them are vehicle drivers for me as well. And that was the thing, man. You wanted a vehicle, and sometimes you get stuck with a lame driver.
It's cool to get an extra figure with a
It's cool, vehicle. But sometimes they don't work out so well, like Crankcase.
Ah, Crankcase.
The guy that came with the Awestriker. He has an orange mustache.
Yeah.
He's wearing a green shirt and some beige pants. He's got a nice gun, but it was just kind of like, kind of lame. You've got this weird kind of orange hair and an orange mustache. He just wasn't appealing to anyone. Like, you would look at him and go... If that mustache was black,
maybe.
We might be in business here.
Maybe.
We might be in business.
You had Charles Bronson, you had Tom Selleck at the time.
That orange just ain't getting me, man. I'm not really digging it. He doesn't look very intimidating. He looks kind of just happy to be there.
I gave him a second glance.
Yeah, Crankcase. Sorry, man. You're just not part of the A-team
here. You couldn't even pick a cool name, really.
Yeah. Well, they get worse, the names.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the next two have pretty amazing names.
Okay, so my next one is also a driver. I didn't do this intentionally, but Hardtop.
He's from the Defiant.
The crawler driver.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has the microphone. He's basically just wearing a hard hat.
He's a pretty tough one to come by, but yeah, he is super lame.
Yeah.
He basically just drives the crawler for the Defiant.
Yeah.
That's... He's not doing much.
I mean, he just looks like a street worker or something.
Like, he looks like he should be checking the electricity.
If he had come with a jackhammer,
yeah,
I might take him a little bit more serious.
Yeah, maybe he'd be in business. If he came with, like, one of those...
He looks like he's got the same face as the other guy that I said did not look confident.
Maybe they're brothers.
Windmill. Him and Windmill have the same face. He actually looks a little surprised.
Yeah.
I made the team?
I'm on the team? What do I do? Oh, you just drive. You just...
Do I get a cool mask or something? Do I get a cool helmet?
No. You got this white helmet. It's for safety reasons. It's safety. Not to look cool.
It's a safety helmet.
It's just for safety reasons. Yeah. All right, my number two... is Sea Slug, the pilot of the Sea Ray.
Oh, yeah. Slug is... That doesn't sound cool.
Talk about one you couldn't get rid of, man. He's got an all purplish-pink outfit, and he's got weird kind of little thingies around his boots that look like slugs, almost.
Yeah.
And he came in a vehicle that was kind of cool. The Sea Ray split into two things. It could be a hang glider or another little vehicle. But he was lame. He had this weird helmet.
He looks dopey.
That had, like, silver on it. And had an odd gun. He just didn't look like he matched at all. Like, it was just like this weird thing. And they had like his logo printed in silver on his purple shirt. He was odd.
Looks like something I would have drawn in class.
Exactly. He looks like a Rob Liefeld design for G.I. Joe. It's just not appealing to anyone. Sea Slug, you were never going anywhere. I knew it better than even offer him up. He just stayed in the bag. Like... This isn't going anywhere.
You didn't even try.
He's not going to...
You might have sold somebody on Sea
Slug. No, I don't think so. You saw him, right?
If you didn't tell him his name?
Sea Slug.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It looks like he's just wearing a purple polo shirt.
Yeah, that's basically it. He's got some weird kind of black things on his shoulders.
And a helmet.
The helmet is so weird.
Hemet.
His hemet is very weird.
Hemet.
He's got purple slug boots. Ugh. Sea Slug. I got that one, I think, through the G.I. Joe flag points. I got the vehicle through the mail, I want to say.
Yeah.
And he was there.
His boots remind me of, like, Little Lord Fauntleroy pants or something.
The whole
like
outfit does. He showed up to party, man, not to fight.
He actually looks like he's kind of smiling.
Yeah.
It's a Cobra guy, isn't it?
It's a Cobra guy, yep. And he's just happy to be there. Just happy to be on the team, guys.
Just happy to help out.
Just happy to be here and be on the team.
Do you have one of those in purple? All right.
Hey, wasn't your uniform white? I made a few changes.
I washed it with my socks. Oopsie. Okay. My number one is Dojo.
Part of the Ninja Force.
I love the Ninja Force. I had, except for that Snake Eyes, I had the funky...
Yeah, Snake Eyes was kind of funky.
Articulation at the hips.
Yeah.
He had girl hips.
Because he had an action feature.
Right.
Yep.
I did not appreciate that at all.
I didn't want my G.I. Joes to have action features. No. Never did.
I mean, it stood out like a sore thumb with the rest of them.
Yeah.
But...
That was a cool Snake Eyes design.
Right.
But the execution was poor because of the action feature.
And all the other ones didn't have that, so it was like...
Well, they had them, but they were more hidden than his were. Like, one had like a spinning arm.
Yeah, and the arms.
Spinning torso type of thing. But...
So all the other... But all the designs were cool. Tishbang was cool, and Storm Shadow was
Nunchuck,
cool.
Yeah.
And, like, but, Slice and Dice were cool. I had all the Ninja Force. I never got Dojo on purpose. I was just like...
That one's a little rough compared to the rest.
A little bald guy with a, you know, with a little...
I had Dojo.
I'm sure you had Dojo.
I had Dojo, and I kept him because he was Ninja Force.
Yeah.
So I never wanted to trade him.
I
liked the ninjas.
You realize when they redid the Ninja Force and the storm and the secret, he didn't get remade.
He didn't get remade. No,
he was just kind of the lamest one of.
He was definitely the lamest
of all the ninjas
for sure.
I get why they made him.
I get why they made him too. And I mean, ninjas were big,
and really,
and they wanted to have different ninja types,
right,
in the line,
right.
So they all looked different.
Right. And that made sense, but.
But he is rough.
He did make my list.
Yeah, he's happy, too. He looks really happy.
He's
happy to be there.
He's practicing martial arts.
Hey, you got me your collection?
You staying fit?
I'm staying there. I'm not going anywhere. All right, my number one, and I'm surprised this didn't make your list, Skidmark.
Yeah, because I remember you mentioning it.
Oh, okay, so you pretty much figured it was going to be on my list.
I avoided it, yeah.
Skidmark.
Skidmark.
Okay, first of all, he was came with a cool vehicle, the Desert Fox. It was a cool vehicle. You know, he had a Gatling gun type of thing that somebody could stand at.
Yeah.
So you got this figure with it, and he's a pretty rough figure to begin with. He has no weapon, which is always a bad thing.
Yeah.
He's got the bright orange jacket. They were loving the color orange around this time. He's got the bright orange helmet, the bright orange boots. He's got these kind of lime green pants and then these dark green sleeves. So he's a big clash altogether. But the name.
Skidmark.
Even if you brought him out and snuck him in and the kid said, oh, what's that one? Skidmark.
Skidmark.
Every kid knows now, that has nothing to do with tires.
Now, you know that it's a
poop trail in your underwear.
Mark on the street, but you also know it's from where...
It's a poop trail in your underwear. That's what you knew it as a kid. It's a poop trail in your underwear. It's evidence that you didn't wipe good.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to trade to somebody.
Underwear works up in there.
It gets in there. You take them off and you see that there's a big crusty line.
It's an embarrassing thing.
Just left behind. It doesn't wash out.
And keep in mind, at that age, at that time... There weren't any boxer shorts, okay? You had
tidy whities.
Everybody was going to see it.
It was skid marks.
Skid marks. Well, check his undies for skid marks.
Yeah.
This guy drew the short end of the stick when it came to code names. It was, can I be like Fast Wheels or like Burnout or something like that? You want something related to cars, huh? How about skid mark?
Can I not?
Can I maybe not have skid mark? Nope, you're skid mark. So as a kid... Trying to trade off something called skid mark. Yeah. Impossible.
I would like to point out also, if he's driving the Desert Fox, I assume that's a vehicle driven in the desert.
It's in the desert. So he's not leaving any skid marks.
So there's not even pavement for skid marks.
So his skid mark probably was due to his underwear.
It probably was.
It has nothing to do with his ability to burn rubber.
Right.
And leave a trail behind.
Right.
He's leaving a trail behind of another kind. And his behind.
His behind.
A trail behind. A trail in his behind. That's the old poop left behind in his underwear. So, little, skid mark.
Little mark.
Impossible.
You couldn't get rid of skid mark.
No way of doing it.
Street Fighter Ken Masters made my honorable mentions.
I could see that. There's a lot that, you know,
quite a few.
I got later on, but at that point I wasn't trading anything. Yeah. Like, the Ninja Force was... I wasn't going to be taking those and trading them because I was too old to be buying G.I. Joes in everybody's eyes, and I was still like, I don't care, I'm buying them anyway.
Right.
But those were the ones I remember during my trading days having the most issue with getting rid of. So I never got rid of them. They're still in my collection, the original ones I had.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. I looking through all these figures in this book, I just realized how much just how cool this line was, and I have so many fond memories of many of these figures. I had a lot of Joes, I guess.
I have the most vivid memories of playing with this toy line than I have of any other toy line.
Yeah.
Like taking them outside and putting them in the dirt and taking them to friends' houses in a little tiny backpack and playing on the Terrordrome and just lots of great, fun memories of this toy line.
For me, it was a line that was around for long enough, so I had friends that had older figures that I'd never seen, and it was like always this cool surprise to be like, whoa, who's that guy? I'll never forget getting the movie 3-pack with Nemesis and Enforcer
and
Globulus. I got it at Big Lots. My grandma got it for me. It was between that and a pack of army ants, and I made the right choice.
Oh man, a lot of people criticize those figures, but they're great. I love that 3-pack
for what they are.
That Royal Guard is awesome.
That's the better one. I think the only problem I would see is the wings.
The wings on Nemesis and Enforcer. What are they going to do back then?
What are you going to do?
Packing giant wings inside this pack? Probably not going to happen. It's a 3-pack.
You're already getting 3 figures.
You're already getting 3 figures. Come on. Calm down. G.I. Joe, great tool line.
I found another honorable mention. It's Armadillo.
Oh, you did?
It's Armadillo.
Oh, yeah, Armadillo's rough. He's rough.
He looks like the Juggernaut.
He's another vehicle driver.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
They didn't know what to do with the vehicles.
Well, they knew that they were getting you for the vehicle.
Right.
So why waste good figure on it? Just, you know? Just slap in a skid mark. And you'd be good to go. Slap in a windmill, you know?
Just slap a windmill right in
there. Slap a windmill right in there, and you'll be fine.
Just take a skid mark and cram it right in there.
Just wipe it right into there. Swipe it right in.
Swipe it right into the vehicle.
All right, well, is that it?
That's all I have.
I mean, it's still an hour episode.
It's fine.
We're always an hour episode now.
You know we do an hour episode.
I want to reiterate from the last episode that it's our opinions on things.
If anyone
was offended by the last episode and are being kind of negative towards Batman vs. Superman, just keep in mind that that's just our opinion, and we don't want to ever make somebody uncomfortable about having their own opinion of it. If you like something, that's great. Go ahead and like something. That's awesome. And we're going to like things, we're going to dislike things.
Yeah.
But never take it as, well, those guys disagree with me, so I probably can't comment on that, or I can't, you know, respond to that, or I can't let my feelings be known on it. No, please, let your feelings be known on it. We're not going to criticize or disparage you for liking or not disliking something.
You know, anyone who did comment, you know, I feel like we have a pretty good, solid group of listeners, you know, and everybody gets it, and I don't remember seeing anybody be mad about it. This was a dividing movie. I mean,
it was like
hate it or like it.
Well, I know that I was reading some posts on Facebook where it was like, you know, I'm getting tired of seeing all this negative stuff about this movie, and I don't want it to come across as a lot of places are coming across as if you like it, you're getting blasted by the people that don't like it, and I don't want it to come across that we're blasting you for liking it. We're just saying our opinion of the movie, and if other people find stuff to like in it, that's great. That's awesome. I'm glad you had a good time, and I'm glad you found something to enjoy in it.
Yeah.
So don't feel like our opinions in the episode are an opinion of the people that disliked something or did like it. It's our opinion of the product itself, and it's just our opinions.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We love just want to throw that out there. I just want to say that.
We love all you guys.
Yeah.
You know I love Snake Eyes 3. That was my favorite figure.
Snake Eyes 3 is awesome.
You know, that was... I got that for Christmas.
Snake Eyes 2 is awesome, too. That's probably my favorite Snake Eyes, the Snake Eyes version 2.
I missed it. I just missed that figure. But, yeah.
Snake Eyes 3 is great, though. Man, he was so cool in the comic during that sequence with the blades on his chest. And Storm Shadow had, like...
Chest blades.
Had put him in a Arashikage mindset to get him over the Scarlet thing. And he was, like, an intense killing machine. It was just awesome. Yeah. That was a great run in the comic.
Never read it.
There were some really, really good Marvel G.I. Joe issues.
Yeah.
Like, that's a series I can go back to as an adult and relook at and go like, wow, this was really, really good. Yeah. Every month, it was really fun. All right.
Good
stuff. So, let's wrap it up on this one.
Wrap it up!
Real quick. April 26th.
April Fool's Day.
Is April Fool's Day this year. They've changed it. So, if you guys have any fools that you want to talk about, post it on the Facebook page.
Cool.
No, but seriously, cool. April 26th is, they're doing this thing, Alien Day.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about LV-426. So they've taken the 426, and they're making it into a day. And Joshua Izzo, who's like one of the licensing guys at 20th Century Fox and Fox itself, he kind of started this whole thing rolling and got a lot of companies involved. Like, NECA's involved in it, and they're going to do some great reveals that day, and... Super 7 is going to do some of their Alien stuff that day, and Reebok is doing like Ripley shoes and Bishop shoes. They're doing Mondo is doing, or Alamo Drafthouse I think is doing like a re-release of the two movies, which is somewhere around here, and I'm kind of bummed about that. But all this stuff is happening, and Blaze has been really excited about Alien Day. Like, he's really excited about, because he loves Alien.
Yeah.
And he said, you guys should do an Alien episode, since your episode will be coming out pretty close to the 26th.
We haven't done an Alien
episode. We haven't done an Alien episode.
That has been on the itinerary for
it
the
has
last
been.
3 years, so yeah.
So, if the timing works out right, which, let me look at the calendar here real quick.
Bishop's friend, watch out for the special blood!
Well, that'll appear us recording the next time of the 21st. So we'd be a little bit ahead of time, but we could do it for Alien Day. So maybe the next episode...
We could not release it until...
We could.
Day.
We could postpone it until Alien Day. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Wants to...
So maybe next time around we're going to do an Alien episode.
Yeah.
We're talking about Aliens, the franchise in general.
Alien.
Mostly a focus on the first two films, I would guess. And
yeah.
Kenner Toy Line.
Yeah, we'll kind of touch on some of the other.
Okay, cool. So that's what we'll do.
Awesome.
Thanks, Blaze, for the idea. That was a great idea. All right, so we're going to wrap up on this one, and we'll see you guys. Are you got anything else to say?
No.
All right.
Wrap it up.
We'll take it. You got the music ready to go or not?
Well, I did, and now my phone needs to...
There it is.
You know how it goes sometimes.
Yep.